Well, thank the Lord for being here this morning. Appreciate you all having us. I was thinking a little bit about the songs that we sang this morning. And one of them was What I've Found in Jesus, I think it was. And it just reminded me of the one that found a treasure and went and sold all that he had in order to obtain that treasure. It's really that is what I've found in Jesus. It was a treasure, almost like a obscure treasure that wasn't well known. Not everybody knows about it, you know, but they don't know that it's a treasure. And the Lord blessed me to be able to find that treasure. And then I was thinking of that song where it says, "I mean to go right on." To me, that is a mindset. It's a mindset that supersedes or goes beyond the norm. Yes. And it's because we found the treasure. Yeah. It's because we know how valuable this treasure is. And we have a glimpse, really just a glimpse, of what it is to be in fruition. You know, where we're going as a individual that's saved, we only have a glimpse really of what it is and what it's going to be like. I mean, the Lord has just given us a little small taste of it, but it's going to be way above and beyond anything that we can even imagine or think. It's going to be so far beyond our imagination that we're going to be in awe and shock as to what God has prepared for us. Yes, and we got to have our minds made up or have a mindset that says, "I'm willing to go right on, no matter what comes against me, no matter what battles I might have to face or obstacles I might have to get past." Yes. I'm going to get there because the treasure's too valuable to give up. The treasure is too valuable to miss. And that's just kind of a side note today. But I have a message. I pray the Lord will bless me to deliver it in a way that's edifying to you all and to myself as well. And that the Lord will help me to be able to get the point across. I'd like to go to Romans chapter 12. And we'll go ahead and read the first two verses. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And I'm just going to, just as a side note here, this is not natural. This is not natural for somebody to do this. It doesn't come naturally to be a sacrifice or to be a self-sacrifice. That's not how we're made up. It's not natural to do that, okay? To present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That, in order to do that, we're going to need to do the second verse.
Yes.
"And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So what I want to talk about this morning is the renewing of our minds, which enables us to be transformed into something that is not natural for us to be. Just like we were saying with regards to the living sacrifice, in order for us to be able to sacrifice ourselves or sacrifice our ambitions or our drives, our wants and lusts or whatever it is, right? In order to be willing to sacrifice those things, it's going to have to come through the renewing of our minds, where we're able to see things differently than the way we see them naturally. So our natural vision of the world is to preserve self, protect self at all costs. Well, in the spirit world, it's not that way. It's walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Amen. And so the Lord is going to ask us to do some things sometimes that maybe contradicts that or goes against what our natural instincts would be. When it says to renew, what does that mean? Well, when I was looking up the definition, it says renovation. I like that word because it makes sense to me, right? So when I buy a house that needs to be renovated, I go in and I change everything out, right? I take out the flooring. I take out whatever needs to be done, countertops, cabinets, trim. Maybe we paint the whole thing. Maybe we have to redo the plumbing or electric. Maybe it needs a new roof, you know, renovation. This is not going to be the same house when we're done with it. And so we're taking out the old and we're bringing in the new. And so we have a particular mindset that we inherited from our father, Adam. Okay? And is that mindset or that nature or natural way of thinking that has to be renovated? It's got to be renewed. And into a mindset that is spiritually minded, that's seeing things the way God sees them. Yes. And having our focus and our ambitions being driven by that rather than what our carnal nature or our carnal man would gravitate towards. They're totally different. And so that is why we need to have our minds renewed so that we can see things differently. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Bless us, Lord. Titus 3:3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Can anybody raise their hand to that this morning?
Yes.
I was sometimes foolish, probably more than sometimes. And I was disobedient.
Amen.
I was deceived. I was serving divers lusts and pleasures. I was living in malice and envy. I was hateful. Now that seems like a strong word, but I didn't hate everybody. But there were people that I hated. Envious. Hateful and hating one another. But, thank the Lord that there can be a but there. All right? Thank the Lord that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. You don't have to continue to be foolish. You don't have to continue to be disobedient. You don't have to continue in divers lusts and pleasures. You don't have to hate people or to be hateful. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appear. That treasure.
Yes.
Thank the Lord, I found the treasure that enables me to supersede all that or go beyond all that and have an opportunity or a chance in my life to be renewed, to be restored, to be renovated, that I don't have to be that anymore. Not by works of righteousness, so not according to my own efforts or my own skill level, or if you're just strong enough, or if you're just if you could just resist hard enough, or whatever. No, it's not by works of righteousness of my own. In other words, I can't just decide, you know, I'm going to renovate myself. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start reading God's word. That's not going to renovate you. Those are good things to do. They're needful things to do as one that gives their heart to the Lord and decides to serve God. But them in and of themselves will not renovate you.
Yes.
but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. So basically what that means is that we're not saved by works. But God does produce works in our lives. When He renovates us and He makes us new and different, that it will bring forth fruit of righteousness in our lives. And so those works will be done as a result of salvation, but they are not the avenues to salvation, if that makes sense to you. In other words, they're not what's going to give you salvation, but they are a result of it. And so when God renovates you and makes you new and gives you a new heart and a new life, it's going to produce righteousness in your life as opposed to what was in your life. The foolishness and the disobedience and the serving divers' lusts and pleasures. Rather than that being the fruit of your life, you're going to have the fruits of righteousness, of long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, mercy. Those are going to be the elements that are in your life as a result of God renovating you. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So that tells us how we get it. Okay, that tells us how we're going to be renovated or renewed. It's going to be by the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ, that cleanses us and washes us and purifies us and allows us not to have the stain of sin on us anymore, that we can be a fresh new person as a result of that mercy and grace of God that forgives us and wipes all that out. It says that's no longer going to be held against you anymore, but you are a new person now, and this is your new opportunity to walk in newness of life. And then it says the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Yes. How do I get my mind renewed? How do I get renewed in my life? It's going to be by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Why do we need to be renewed? Let's go to John chapter 3. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We've got to be born again. Yes. We were born a natural man, and let's go ahead and read some more. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again? Or how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What is he talking about? He's talking about a natural birth, right? Yes. He was born a natural man. And you're saying I have to be born again. What? How can I do that? How is that even possible? Do I have to enter again into my mother's womb and be born again? He was born a carnal man. But to be born again, we have to be born spiritual man. Nicodemus saith, okay. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So basically, that which is born of the flesh is a natural man. It takes on the natural tendencies. It has the natural man's nature, if you will. And one of the things I was thinking about with when I was going over this is think of a lion. You remember the scriptures where it says the lion shall what was it, eat with the lamb or something like that? Is that natural? Yes. Is that natural for a lion to just cozy up to a lamb? No, that's his dinner. Right? He thinks that's, you know, it's just not natural for him. And To imagine a lion being one that can sit and eat with a lamb, something's got to happen, right?
Yes.
His nature has to be changed. He's got to be born again, if you will, and no longer have the carnal nature of a what do they call them? Carnivore. Thank you. So he can start eating grass. He's got to have a new nature instilled in him in order for that to happen. And that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus, that we have to be born again. We've got to be born new, or be given a new nature, if you will. That we're not walking in accordance to our own carnal nature, or the one that we inherited from Adam, but we're walking in newness of life, and we're walking in the Spirit. So we have to be born again if we're going to be able to walk in this newness or have this renovation in our lives. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so just as we were naturally born into this world, born in according to the flesh, we need to be born in the Spirit, which puts us into a different realm, if you will, or enables us to see our world differently. The first scripture said, unless he's born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And so I take that to mean also, it's not just you can't see the heaven, you know, but I believe it also has to do with you can't see the value of the life that God has for us to live.
Yes.
You can't see that Jesus is the treasure without being born again. The Lord gives us that glimpse of the hope, and we give our hearts to Him, and then we begin to be able to see how valuable this is and what a blessing it is to have. And it allows us the opportunity to be transformed and to take on a newness of life. Let's go to Romans 8. Bless us, Lord. Romans 8 and 1. So the scriptures has told us that we need to be born again. We need to put off the carnal nature, if you will, or the old man, and we need to put on the new man, or the put on Christ, right? Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so this is saying there is no more condemnation to us, not from works of righteousness, but we are going to be walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
We put aside, or we put the old man away, the carnal way of thinking, the flesh, if you will, the old nature and what it envisions to be valuable, or what it envisions to be appropriate even. We're putting that aside, and we're taking on us the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank the Lord. So the law in walking in the newness of life with Christ, or taking on the Spirit and His instruction, enables us to put aside what we were and gives us an opportunity for salvation. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So when the law could not do it, right? The law was just rules to follow. Essentially, the law was works. If I can just, you know, follow this and follow that and not, You know, one of the things that Jesus taught them was, he said, if a man commit adultery, well, we've not committed any adultery. But then he says, well, let's take it this way. If a man looks upon a woman to lust after her in his heart, or that is his purpose for doing that, he's committed adultery already in his heart.
Yes.
And so that is bringing out a deeper root to the problem. It's not just a form of abiding by rules or specific regulations or statutes, but there's an inner work that has to take place. Because you can do all of those outward things and yet still have a corruption within your heart that's not been renewed or transformed. And that is what the Spirit gives us the opportunity to do, is to get down to the root of these things. The law was not able to do that. It could just bring about condemnation to you. It could just tell you what was right and what was wrong. And what it inevitably did was it created a condemnation in our lives.
Yes.
Because when it said, thou shalt not, and you've already done thou shalt not, then that means you're in condemnation and in need of a Savior. But yet you don't have the Spirit working within your heart to discontinue that carnal nature, if that makes sense. They were still left with their carnal nature and trying to overcome or overpower what was natural for them to do. When somebody slaps me on the face, it's not natural for me to give them the other cheek also. And that was something that the Spirit has to come in and give me that opportunity to resist those things and to do what God finds valuable and to react in a way that is valuable in accordance to God's vision of it and how He sees it. So God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How is the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so if we want the righteousness of the law, if you will, or the righteousness of what God has demonstrated as what is appropriate to do or what is not appropriate, is going to be by walking in the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So basically those who are carnally minded do carnal things. They react in accordance to what their mind is. So for example, again, you know, the carnal mind, when somebody slaps them on the cheek, it's almost spontaneous reaction that, whack, they slap them back maybe, right? Or they push them, or they, you know, I don't know, whatever, you know, everybody has their own tendencies in circumstances like that. Some people are fight and flight, you know, they just run, you know, I don't know. That's just an example. But carnal mind is going to react carnally. And so, for to be carnally minded, let's see, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So those who are going to be spiritually minded, or those who are living to walk in accordance to the Spirit, are going to mind the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
And so basically that means you're going to obey what the Spirit says is the appropriate response in this situation or this circumstance. And we'll get to that in a little bit as to how to do that. For to be carnally minded is death. So right now what we're establishing is the reason why we have to have our minds renewed. Okay, the reason why we can't continue to think the way that we've we're grown up to think, or the way that we naturally were given to think. But we have to be renewed in our mind, because the carnal mind is going to lead to death.
Yes.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So just like what we were saying, the carnal mind is selfish. The carnal mind does not sacrifice for anybody. The carnal mind is really about what is going to benefit me, or how is this going to help me, or how is it... I mean, no matter what the situation, the angle is to preserve self and to put self first, and to really nurture and coddle the flesh. Whether it be in our desires, or being vengeful, revenge is a carnal thing. Forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is, it goes against our nature, really, to be truly forgiving, to be able to let things go, and to really have a peace in our hearts as a result of it. The fleshly appetites, those are going to be a carnal thing, something that is drawing us away from that which is appropriate and godly. The spiritual mind is going to institute those things which are pure and righteous and holy, where the Lord is able to show us when there's actually a great benefit in being sacrificed and allowing the other person to have their way, if you will, and not have to sit there and fight for my way all the time, or my benefit, or what I think, or to be able to sacrifice that and to just lay it down. Amen. Is going to be through the Spirit of God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So when it makes more sense when we think about it, though. When you say in the flesh, what do you mean? Well, it means operating and functioning with the carnal nature as the forefront. Obviously, to do that and to walk in a way that you're abiding by what carnal man thinks is right or appropriate, that's not going to be pleasing unto God. Because the carnal mind will take you into all different kinds of directions that, you know, for example, the carnal mind may think it's perfectly fine to cheat on their wife, as long as she doesn't find out about it and create problems for me. Right, that's something that the carnal mind could think that it's okay in order to satisfy an inner lust or desire. But that is in complete enmity to God and what He finds to be good and loving and kind. And so if we're going to be what God would have us to be, we're going to have to walk in the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, He tells them. So basically what He's telling them is that you're not walking in the flesh. If you're walking in the flesh, then you're not being pleasing unto God. But if you're saved and you're delivered, then you're not walking in the flesh. You're walking in the Spirit, and you need to abide by the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you and direct you in your life.
Yeah.
If so be that that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And so we can't expect to be saved, or we can't expect to be delivered, if we're walking a carnal life. But we have to be walking in the Spirit. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. If you're walking in accordance to the flesh, that leads to death. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And so if we're going to live or be saved, if you will, we're going to have to walk in the Spirit. It says in Galatians, I think it is, Galatians 5 and 16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we have that promise. So, renewing of our minds. Another scripture I was thinking about was Colossians, I think it's 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so that is essentially what we're talking about this morning, is that we're getting out of that mindset of seeking the or making provisions for our affections here on earth, but rather we're setting our affections on things above or what God would find appropriate in our lives. Amen. How do we do that? You know, I think that a lot of times I believe that people believe that that you get saved, you give your heart to the Lord, you say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins, wash me, cleanse me, make me a new man, and the Lord does all that. He forgives you. He sets you upon a rock, and He establishes your going. And somehow I think that at that point, people think that God is going to all of a sudden now make them a robot. Okay, so now I'm giving my heart to you, I'm giving my life to you, and now all of a sudden they think that God is going to just put it all there in your brain, and you're immediately going to see and walk in accordance to the Spirit. Everything that you see is going to be spiritually minded, and it's just all going to be dumped in on you. I do not believe that that is what God does. I do not believe that He just automatically gives you this spiritual mindset that you're able to see everything the way you ought to see Him now.
Yes.
He gives you the opportunity to.
Yes.
And I think about it somewhat like the garden where Adam had the situation where he had an opportunity. He had a spiritual mind. He was a spiritually minded man. It was what he was given. He was born in the image of God.
Yes.
And so he had all of that. But yet he had an opportunity, a temptation, if you will, to act on something other than what he was born in. I don't believe that he was born with a carnal nature. But it says after he sinned that Seth was born in the image of Adam.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people say that we're born in the image of God. Well, I don't believe that's true. Adam was born in the image of God, but people are born in the image of Adam.
Amen.
And that's two very different things. Jesus was born in the image of God because he was born of the Holy Ghost. And so he didn't receive, if you will, that carnality, but was walking in the Spirit. But we have an opportunity to choose. We have an opportunity now to set our affections on things above, or we can walk in the carnality and take on the things of the flesh and walk in the flesh. So how do we become spiritually minded? How do we renew our minds? John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost,
yes,
whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things.
Yes.
And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we have the Holy Spirit that's going to teach us those things.
Amen.
He's going to instruct us and give us what we need to know about what is godly or what is appropriate or what he would have us to do in this situation or that situation, so that we're not having to just go with what the carnal nature would do, but we have an opportunity now to see what God says about the thing and how God envisions it and how he would have us to respond. The other scripture is in John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so we have the Holy Spirit that is now able to teach us what is being spiritually minded or being able to see it the way God sees it. And so now we have the opportunity to take that and to be in one accord with the Spirit of God. And we can take that instruction that seems to go contrary to what the natural man maybe thinks and be able to see the value in what the Spirit of God is showing us and say, no, that's what I want. That's the life that I want to live. No, I want to be merciful. No, I want to be kind. I want to be generous. I want to be loving. And being able to see what God is showing us, the path that he's giving us, that he would have us to walk on and that he would have us to live our lives in accordance with. And we decide that we're going to mind the things of the Spirit and we're going to obey the things of the Spirit, or we're going to walk in that. That's the life that I want to live, and that's the walk that I'm going to live. And we have that opportunity to do that. Because the Lord enables us that we don't have to walk in accordance to the carnal flesh. We don't have to abide by what the carnal man thinks. But we can walk in newness of life because of the blood of Jesus Christ that sheds upon us and gives us newness of life and newness of opportunity and gives us a chance to be taught by the Spirit of God to renew our minds. When I say that it's not just dumped in on us, The Lord is giving us an opportunity to change the way we think about things, but he's not forcing us to do that. It's a choice that we make, that we choose God. Yes. I choose God. I choose his way. I choose his path. I'm going to walk in what he has determined is the best thing for me. And sometimes that is something that we don't really understand, even, where God would lead us into a path that seems in a carnal way or in a humanistic way to be a bad path. And we might look at it and think, this doesn't make any sense. Why the Lord would want me to go along this path? What is the benefit of this? But there are benefits to it, to one that has a spiritual mind or that is able to see the spiritual things that are valuable, in the sense that you may have to suffer in the flesh in order to receive some valuable thing spiritually. Say, you may have to suffer some embarrassment in order to achieve or to receive this valuable humility. You see what I'm saying? It's something that is highly valuable spiritually, but maybe not so valuable carnally. And sometimes the Lord may be leading us into things that doesn't make a lot of sense to the carnal mind or to the carnal man, that is very valuable to us spiritually. And if we can just get on board with God and what his Spirit is teaching us and instructing us, he can lead us to the land that flows with milk and honey. That's such a blessing. And he can help us to get there if we're willing to walk in the Spirit, or if we're willing to walk in accordance to what he's saying is valuable and good for us to do. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I think it's the principle of it so much that he was willing, although he could say that equal with God, but yet he was willing to humble himself and take upon himself no reputation, allowed himself to be spit upon and ridiculed and made fun of, and to the point where he was even able to allow them to take him to the cross and kill him, where it says that he could have called legions of angels to rescue him from the cross. The people there at the cross mocked him and saying, if you really are the Son of God, then come down off the cross. That'll show us who you are. And he very well could have done that. He could have done that. But instead, his mind was to do the will of the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that is what the scriptures is saying that our minds ought to be. Yes. Nevertheless, not my will. Because my will oftentimes is going to be driven by a carnal drive. And for me, my carnal drive led me to a lot of foolishness. Deceitfulness, hatefulness, things that I'm not proud of today. But to be able to walk in the mind of Christ and to live a life that is pleasing unto God, not just because he thinks it's good, because it really is good. You know, we don't follow the Lord and obey His commands simply because it pleases Him, but we also do it because it is the best way to live.
Yes,
it is the best thing to do. Yeah. To have humility in your heart is way better than to have pride in your heart.
Yes,
and it doesn't seem that way to the natural man because the things of God are foolishness unto him. But when we have our vision opened up and God gives us an opportunity to see the true value of the kingdom and what it entails and what's within it, then we can get to where we're like, I mean to go right on. And I'm willing to go past or go beyond anything that would maybe try to obstruct me from obtaining this valuable treasure that God has for me. Hebrews 8 and 10 says that He will put His laws into our minds.
Yes.
You know, again, I just want to reiterate, we're going to read it. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Yes.
I believe the Lord, He presents it to us, but He doesn't make us think it.
That's right.
He doesn't make us take hold of it where there's no longer a choice in the matter, really. He presents it to us where we can see that which is good and we can choose to walk in that thing. He gives us the ability to choose it. He gives us the grace, if you will, to follow after His will and to do that which is pleasing unto Him. He presents what is best and what is the most optimal way to live to us. His commands, His laws, His statutes. And He gives it all to us, spiritually minded. It's not just some carnal law of, you know, don't steal. But it's a deeper law than that. It goes much deeper than that. It gets to the root of our hearts of that drives us or pushes us towards those kind of things and helps us to change it there.
Amen.
But He's not just going to... This, you know, I don't know. I just imagine it like putting on a helmet. You know, this is a spirit helmet. And I'm just going to put this helmet on. And now everything that I think from here on out is just going to be spiritual. And yeah, maybe we think that that would be really great to do or have. But that is not the plan of God. His plan is that we willingly choose this. That we, from our hearts, choose Him.
Yes.
And choose His path. And choose His ways. And not just out of a rote obedience, but that we would have the mind of Christ and really see the value in it.
Yes.
And know that it's the best. And know that this is right. And have the mind of Christ in us. That we would be able to see, no, that is wrong. No, that is not right. That is not what I want. That is ungodly. That is inappropriate. And be able to recognize it and label it. This is the devil, and this is his workings, and this is what he wants to bring about in my life. But no, I want this other thing. I want what God has for me. But we have to renew our minds in the sense that we choose the Spirit of God and choose His thinking as opposed to what the devil presents us or what our carnal nature would want to present to us.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4. For this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They can't see it. They can't see the kingdom of God. But he's saying, don't walk like that anymore. Who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. The Spirit of God has not taught us that. The Spirit of God is teaching us something much different than that. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So may the Lord, the Spirit of God, teach us and instruct us in the ways of righteousness. He's telling us what Jesus has taught. He's reminding us of those things of what Jesus taught. He doesn't speak in and of himself, but he speaks that which is given unto him to give unto us. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that you resist or deny the carnal way, you deny the flesh, and his drive or his perspective of the thing, and you put that aside and you rather put on that which God has given unto us, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes.
To do that, to be able to put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, we have to be taught by him.
Yes.
And walk in the truth. And decide that we're going to take on the mind of Christ in our lives. And we're going to see things the way he sees them. and we're going to value the things that He values, and we're going to allow that to be what drives us in our lives and what motivates us in our lives to do what we do. We're not minding the carnal man, because it says those who mind the flesh do the deeds of the flesh. But we're going to mind the Spirit so that we can do the deeds of the Spirit. And so I appreciate your prayers this morning. Pray for me. I want to walk in the Spirit.